Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're delighted that you're here with us at Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. We are aiming to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first one is that today is a communion Sunday. It's going to be our first time coming back to the Lord's table with the regular routine elements. And so we're going to pass those elements. We're also including on every single basket a gluten-free option that can be found in the muffin tent or basket thing. Or if you feel more comfortable, we have the sealed versions like we've been using for communion during COVID. And so you're welcome to take any of those. As the wonderful worship staff reminded me, worship committee reminded me, we eat the elements all at once and drink them all at once. So when you get your bread, hold on to it, and then we'll celebrate eating together just as we'll do the same with drinking. And if you wish, just take the wafer out of the sealed packet. Started this morning and heading up to Rally Day, I'm teaching a class on Sunday school in the Sunday school called On the Gospel of John for all adults at 9 a.m. in room 113. Now, I will be on vacation next week, so that class will not meet. Now, I will be back to teach that class the following week, and so in the interim, y'all will have Sunday School Midsummer Fellowship in the Fellowship Hall next week for everyone. Coming real soon is Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church Vacation Bible School. That starts this Friday from 6 to 8. Make sure if you're planning on your children coming that you've signed up at vbs@cookschurch.org. The flowers, the beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this Sunday are in honor of all of our children and grandchildren by Pat and F.D. Hager. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any others that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all.
And his mercy is over all that he has said.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
And let all be assisted in him
forever and ever.
Let us pray. O Lord God, our good shepherd, you indeed are the source of all true power and all lasting joy. We praise you for your power, which we confess to be beyond compare. We worship you for your wisdom, which is, of course, beyond even our understanding. You meet all of our needs. You restore the brokenhearted and heal the wounded. You've revealed yourself to your people and your church, against which you declare the gates of hell cannot prevail. How great you are, Lord. Fill our hearts with love as we respond by singing and offering our praises to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please now rise and join me in the singing of hymn number 269 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But God reveals that if we confess our sins, He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness and remove from us any of our transgressions. So friends, in humility and in faith, let us step forward boldly, confessing our sins corporately, taking a moment to utter them silently in our hearts as we approach the throne of grace. Join me now. Almighty Father, we enter your presence confessing the things we tried to conceal from you and the things we tried to conceal from others. We confess the heartbreak, worry, and sorrow we have caused that made it difficult for others to forgive us, the times we have made it easy for others to do wrong, the harm we have done makes it hard for us to forgive ourselves. Lord, have mercy and forgive us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Sweeter words have never been spoken. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, the Son and only begotten Son of the Father, took flesh to suffer and die for us and for our salvation. Because He was faithful to the will of the Father, because He was indeed crucified there at Calvary and indeed rose from heaven, we can rest in the certain and eternal knowledge of one thing. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven now and forever. Please be seated. At this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come forward for a special time with Miss Sandy that's just for our kids.
Good morning. Come on. How's everybody doing today?
our promises to.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
That was beautiful. Thank you. We come now into a time of reading and proclamation of the word. And before we do so, let's seek out the Lord in a prayer for illumination. Heavenly Father, we just ask by your Spirit's power that you would descend upon us as we worship today. Enliven your scriptures with your presence. Enable our hearing with that same Spirit's power. Gracious God, allow us to hear in your word what you would have us do and be in this world broken by sin. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament reading comes from Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Thank you, Ruth Ann. Now, it's not a bad thing that my wife isn't here this morning. because I'm going to begin with a baseline confession that she would get up and shout to the heavens is true. And I didn't want to have that happen, right? Because the thing is, people that get to know me are going to know that I have some defining traits, right? Some of them good, just like anybody else. A whole lot of them not so good. And one of them that's very clearly there and present and even exists as I nearly turn 50, right, is that I'm a little bit of an anti-authoritarian, right? What that means is if there's an authority set up over me, I generally don't like it, right? And so I tend to rebel against it. I think probably the height of this was one time when somebody told me I couldn't have a bouncy house on a church parking lot. And I about went to war, right? Like, that was a problem. But perhaps my sixth grade experience in English class is the most telling of how, you know, inattentive to authority I was. My sixth grade English teacher began by giving us these instructions. Made our hearts sink to the bottom of our stomachs. Everybody take out a sheet of paper, put up your books, and get out a pencil, right? It's a pop quiz. And she makes it very clear to me and all the class that she wants us to listen to the instructions before we put a pen on the paper or a pencil. And, you know, as I have this little anti-authoritarian thing going on at sixth grade, I think, well, I'm just going to answer the questions as she gives them, right? That's pretty easy to do. So I do, and I'm only one writing, but that doesn't worry me because they're all going to have to catch up and I'm going to be laughing at them, right? Until she gets to the last question, and it's not so much a question as it is a statement. And she says, my intent today was to see how well you were at following instructions. And since I told you not to write anything down, if everyone will turn in the piece of paper that's blank with their name on it, they got an A. I got an F. Got every answer right, but I just didn't want that authority over me. You know, when we start talking about the scriptures and the Bible, we've got to bring up that word very clearly, authority. An authority is someone who exists in a superior role over us. We're supposed to follow, as I try to tell my children, with largely not much success, that they're to obey their parents is one of those instructions. There are, in positions of authority, things that you want to tell people. And the thing is, we spend so much of our lives determining who the authority in our life is. And one of the ways, it's really fascinating right now, how they're finding a correlation between branding, how loyal you are to Apple or Google or any number of products, not technical necessarily, and those technical apparati and apparatuses are the means by which so much gets transmitted. You know, as we think about the authority, we're all trying to choose one. And maybe we try with a brand and it fails us. Apple is, I'm sure, a great product, but their computers break, right? We're supposed to have, my point is, we're supposed to have a deferential attitude toward authority. Question is, what's the authority? Who's in charge? Well, we can look and find a bunch of secular voices that'll tell us if you'll follow this theory or believe in this thing, all will be well. And very seldomly do they work out, right? Oftentimes what you find is people that are pitching something that just isn't up to the hype. So what do we empower? What do we put in authority? Well, we put God there. But as we all know, God, who exists both in and outside of this realm through the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't always that God that is both in and out of this world is at the same time the one whose authority we require. And the means by which we talk and understand God and hear the things he wants us to do and do the things he wants us to say is that we understand the scripture and we put that as an authority over us. It is really disingenuous to say at one hand the Bible is God's word and then tell you, but don't listen to it too closely. Right, which is a lot of times what you hear. One of the great myths, one of the great difficulties I had early on coming into the church is that I assumed that Christians believed the Bible had authority. Right, that's where I started, without question. What I found is that there were a host of voices that want to say, well, the Bible is authoritative here, but not here. Don't read that. Put that somewhere else. That's wrong. It's not understanding the culture of today. Or you say, hey, I don't quite know how, and I don't know quite why, but when I trust the Word of God as the authority in my life, things turn out better. It has a much more positive effect. But the thing is, we don't hear it very often. And the reason we don't hear it is there's always some intermediary between us. By intermediary, I mean either theology, a pastor, or someone else. And sometimes, as we talked about last week, as much as you want that somebody else, that theological system or that pastor, maybe they don't. Maybe they don't know the Word of God. How would I ever know? Well, the Scripture has an authority on my life, so I consult it and I look for it to provide the truth. We hear so very clearly as we come into God's Word and hear the voices over and over again reminding us. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. It's in the Old Testament as well. Isaiah 48. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is consistency and constancy in God's word, the likes of which this world knows no other substitute. Friends, believe it or not, as you sit there, perhaps in your pews being motionless, hoping that the pastor doesn't lay eyes on you and condemn some kind of thing, which I wouldn't do, really. But you're sitting there largely motionless, but you're not, are you? Right? You're moving. You might not realize it. You're moving quite fast. You're spinning on the Earth's axis at about 11,000 miles per hour, but that ain't nothing, because really the way you're moving on the Earth around the sun, no kidding, 68,000 miles per hour. You're moving, I'm moving, and it's like the big cosmic tilt-a-whirl, right? We're on it. Doesn't always feel like it, but sometimes it does, doesn't it? Maybe we open up our news paper or look on the news feed and we think, how in the world? What? Did that happen? What? Well, the confusing nature of this world is understood through the lens of Scripture. You see, what the Bible teaches us is that there is an authority in our life. That one is God. And that God's Word is the means by which we most easily and clearly apprehend God. Right? Not through theology, not through sermons that are 20 minutes and of various goodness. This one being an example of the opposite, right? That's funny. Right? The point is that there is an authority over our lives, and though we seem to recognize it, that it is our anchor. It is our solid and steady ground because it does not change. Interpretations of the Bible change. That's for certain. People throughout history have come into the Bible and said, I see this, and almost always it's a reflection of the times. Now look, there is a great book that is worth reading, and it's from a secular scholar. It's by a man named Stephen Prothero. He's a sociologist, but he wrote a book called American Jesus that is fascinating, because what his premise was is that throughout the history of America, we have been in this cycle where we define Jesus along the dominant terms of that time. So there was a period of time far before any of us were around that Jesus was hyper-masculine. Jesus was the man's man that was out in the wilderness. But then later we have the hippie Jesus, right? In the 60s and 70s, it's just all peace and love and wonder, wonderful. Jesus changes right now. What it sounds like to me, a lot of times when my brethren and sistren, is that a word? I don't know. Speak from the pulpit, what I hear is something different. What I hear is not the authority of Scripture, but rather the means by which we can avoid its clear premises. Now that has a historical root, right? And I want to explain that to you today. And it's only one time that I'm going to do it. So if you're bored, I'm really sorry, but you got to get this. There's a reason why so many pastors today sound exactly like their counterparts in professorial roles, in the colleges, in the upper level of academia. And the reason is very clear. They're trained by the same people. You see, in the seminaries, the requirement to teach, you would think it's an MDiv and some experience in the church. Not a bit. They want to see a PhD. Where do you get PhDs? Well, very few seminaries offer them as a PhD course. You can take a doctorate of divinity, but that's really just, well, you know, it's kind of a vanity degree, honestly. The PhD is the gold standard, and the people that most readily provide that are secular colleges and universities. When a person who wants to train pastors says, I want to go train pastors, I want to be a seminary professor, they send you to a secular university. You listen to the same lectures, the only difference believing theoretically that you believe in Jesus Christ, and they don't. Because the academy, that is that upper level of education, has rejected the authority of the scripture, and I mean they did it 400 plus years ago. 400 years ago, a man by the name of John Locke came along. We love John Locke. Don't miss this. John Locke is very significant to American history. John Locke was a philosopher, right? And ostensibly a Christian. He sets up what's known as liberalism. Now, look, this is not a diatribe in any way, shape, or form against our friends that are on opposite aisles of the political spectrum. I'm talking about classical liberalism as it was birthed in the 17th century. Where it came from, the liberality was that the Bible was false and that we needed, by terms of intellectual achievement and advancement, to understand the real truth. And the real truth, it isn't in the Bible. That's the academy's belief, and it was very clearly articulated by John Locke, who I said was ostensibly Christian. But he was what's known as a Socinian Christian. Now, again, I don't expect any of us to know that. A Socinian Christian is basically a Christian that believes that Jesus Christ was just a man and he just walked around on earth, but he didn't die on a cross and he certainly wasn't resurrected. There's a problem with that belief. It's patently against what the Bible actually says. If you're going to come into the Word of God and make the claim that it's false, you got to realize that you're coming against a document that has you wrapped up in the strictures of its truth from the get-go. Over and over again, what we hear is, listen to God's Word. Don't listen to the false voices of the world. Listen to God's writings. Hear His Word. It doesn't pass away. It's as reliable as anything in this crazy world that's moving at the speeds that we're moving. The scriptures are what we can anchor in on, and we can understand right and wrong. We can look at the world and say, I know why this is happening. And it's not because there's violent video games or there's bad news on the television. It's because you and I were sinners, and that's not going to change. But God has altered the dynamic in and through Jesus Christ. He died as an atonement for our sins. He rose from heaven to take human flesh into the kingdom so that we could rest every day secure with one particular piece of knowledge. We're not ever going to die. Now we are. We will all pass away at one point. But in the Christian belief, that is not a death to a death eternal, that is death as a reawakening into new life, right? So when we start saying this part of the Bible is true and that part is untrue, what we come dangerously close to is saying, I'm going to pick and choose as I like, which is the exact opposite of what any religion is going to tell you to do. Religions all make a claim. They claim that there is something beyond the material realm. Something bigger, something larger. And every one of them does that. And what they say is, you have to follow certain sets of rules and behaviors and expectations in order to be a part of this religion. That's why Christianity is not really a religion. Write that down. It's not. It's a method of interacting with God in love. It is absolutely the truth. It is absolutely the way to the Father. There is no other way. But it's accomplished through that loving attention and dedication and attention to God's holy and everlasting Word. Because as these people are training beside pastor trainers, there's a lot of crossover. And that's why a lot of times people from the pulpit sound more like professors than they do pastors. Because the word is discounted, believed to be false. Faith in the academy has no currency. It's all a lie and hokum. If you want to believe it, you just display that you're foolish. It would all be fine, well, and good if that group of folks, if those voices led to a better place. But the best I'm counting on it is the wisdom of the world is leading us down the primrose path. And what we see is we're getting madder and sicker and more fearful and more anxious. Everything negative we don't want, we're getting. Why? We don't have the right authority. We look to CNN or Fox News or any news channel to tell us what's right and wrong. We listen to the voices of our neighbor who subtly knock the Bible, and what we're left with is, well, I just believe it by faith. Friends, there are better answers than that. The Bible is absolutely rational. The Bible is absolutely clear. There is nothing in it that you could not get up from here and read and understand. Because if there is, you would need somebody like me. And somebody like me is a dicey proposition, even though I think I'm pretty swell, right? The fact of the matter is, until you know the Word, until you know its contours, till you feel new life bubbling up in you, what we have to do is not speak until we know what we know. And what we know is plain for all to see. Because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, right? It can cut away the excess and the falsehood and the heresy of this generation with its powerful truth. And the truth is simply this. We're not so great. We need help. God gave it in Jesus Christ, and we're never going to die. That's all there for us to read and record, and a million or other stories under God's sons in there too. But you're going to get that story, and you're not going to turn into a robot. You're not going to turn into somebody that's not kind to other people. Why? Because the Bible hedges all that in. It says to you, think more highly of others. Don't look at the log in somebody, speck in somebody else's eye. Look at the log in yours, right? And so we, as the people of God, as we come into this precious and holy word, we recognize that it has been handled for generations with disregard, and that day has to end. Because the church is broke, bereft of power. We're doing very little, and what we do is on a small scale. And what we're seeing is that evil is winning. But there is good news in that same Bible. Jesus Christ looks at Peter and says, Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against us. Friends, we win, right? We're the winners. We're the ones that have the truth. But so many of us don't know the truth. Or we take somebody else's opinion for what the truth is, and unfortunately, the world will lead us astray. Have you ever gotten beside somebody? I seem to run into them at airports or church parties, or not church parties, but parties. You know, somebody who finds out that you're a pastor and wants to immediately explain to you why they don't come to church, right? Okay. Well, first of all, you're showing me that you have some guilt about it, because believe me, I'm not Jewish and I didn't miss the Sabbath one bit yesterday, right? So if they're not coming to church, they don't really understand what we're doing. And spiritual but not religious. Well, the not religious part I can see to a certain point, but more often than not, what that boils down to is I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and I'll take advice when I think it's necessary. Friends, that ain't an authority. That is a kindly grandparent that's indulging your every whim, which is great things when they're getting you candy and gum, but bad things altogether when they're feeding you a false truth, right? Friends, the time is now. We who are the people of God have an important task and work to do in front of us. And now it's even more complicated because so many people are already believe the word is to be mocked. The word is not to be taken seriously. And unless there's a dedicated group of people that is upholding that tradition, the tradition of knowing God's word and challenging the powers that be when they run afoul of it with love and compassion, then, friends, what we are is not so much in a church as we are in a spiritualized country club, and those don't have any power at all. Friends, we can change the world. We just can. But it all begins someplace important, It begins when we come to the Word of God and say, I don't understand how this is, but I believe in an omnipotent God that can make it happen. That every single word in this text is presenting to me the truth that God wants me to believe and know. And as I listen to the Word and as I grow more intimate with God, I will be more equipped to avoid sin and better equipped to proclaim the good news to all who yearn for it. Friends, let's begin. Let's take up this work. Let's change the world. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into the celebration of communion. Communion, as we know, is Christ's gift to the church. He calls us to the Word, and then He summons us to celebrate this particular sacrament. We know that Jesus Christ, on the night of His arrest, took bread. And after having broken, after having given thanks to God, Jesus Christ broke the bread and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Friends, in the same way, Jesus Christ took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink of this cup, you announce my authority in the world." And every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the saving life and death of Jesus Christ until He comes again in glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, before there was, You were. You spoke Your majestic word, and all that we encounter came into existence, O Lord. And yet it was at the first opportunity that we strayed, listening to the false voices of the world. We disobeyed Your command, and we continue to pay the price for it. But You, O Lord, did not abandon us, not at all. In fact, in Your love, You traveled with us in the wilderness of sin. In Your love, You sent forth prophets to bring Your people back. And in the fullness of time, You sent forth Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son, our Savior. He came into this world as a pauper to a poor family in a place long overlooked. And yet, O Lord, in Jesus Christ was the fullness of You for us. Father God, in Jesus Christ, You have atoned for our sin, and You prepare us for the kingdom that comes. Gracious God, we thank You for the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, the continuer and upholder of it. We ask that Your Holy Spirit come and descend upon these elements, providing for us spiritual food and drink. Allow us to enter into this holy communion with You first in our hearts and our thoughts, as well as our desire to make disciples of all the nations. So come to us now, Lord. Teach us, instruct us, and feed us. We pray these things to You, concluding with the prayer that Jesus Christ taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this point, the ushers will begin passing around the bread, just remembering that we've got in the baskets both gluten-free bread and the little containers if you want to use those.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Would you join me? Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Good.
I can hear the Savior say, thy strength is much too small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. For you see, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you fed us in this meal. We look forward to finding you in our lives and knowing that you are calling us into your world to be your disciples and to shine your light. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the many acts of love and charity that you do in this world, O Lord. We just ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you provide health and healing and clarity of mind to us all. Gracious God, we make special prayers as we continue to pray for the family of Loretta Henson. O Lord, we pray for Billy Sigmund. We pray for Bev Weldy. We pray for Kay Matthews. We pray for Sheldon Hunter. We pray for Steve Gilmore and Jimmy McClure. We pray for Pauline Harper and Dennis and Debbie Abernathy. We pray for Jill Griffin and the many others on our prayer list. We make all these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. We come now into a time of giving, remembering that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the many ways you provide for us. As we return a portion of those blessings back to you, we just ask that you sanctify this offering, using it to spread your light and your love in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to the end of our worship service and have been fed at the Lord's table, let us all remember that the love and sacrifice that made this possible is the power that we have in the world. To change it, to make it better, the way that we do so is we always listen to the Word of God and we seek to find and apply its ways. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.